What's up, everyone, and welcome back to the show. So today we're going to be talking about strength first, why it's so important to prioritize getting strong first if you want to compete in CrossFit. So this is super close to my experience, and I have a passion for it because I spent a lot of time doing a lot of really, really, really hard training and lost long-term potential as a result of it because I wasn't prioritizing the right things early on enough in my career. So it's super, super important to develop strength first, and I'm going to go through six different reasons why that is. And the first one is that strength takes such a long time to develop. So the peak biological age for powerlifters is 35 years old. So powerlifters don't hit peak performance until 35 years old on average. That suggests that the lead time to the training time that you have to invest, the training currency that you have to invest to develop your squat, bench, deadlift, press is really, really big. It's a big amount of training currency. It's a big amount of attention, time, effort in the gym. Incidentally, you also retain those adaptations for a really long time. So you don't have to spend a ton of time once you do have the strength keeping it up because it's an adaptation that you retain for a really, really long time. So once you have it, it sticks really, really well, especially for CrossFitters. The reason it sticks especially well for CrossFitters is because you're doing a lot of squatting, bending, lunging, pushing, and pulling in your mixed work. So it's not like you're doing no hard contractions. Your hard contractions just get blended into this aerobic context or this, you know, high heart rate, high ventilation context of your Metcons. And so you don't have to do a ton to retain it once you have it. So that's the first reason to prioritize it. The second reason is the concurrent training effect. So the concurrent training effect is something that I've seen over and over again, personally, clinically, and it's pretty well documented in the research. It started to get studied in the 1980s by a guy named Hickson, and he used to call it the interference effect. And it just means that the more aerobic volume you're doing, the more your strength and power gains are attenuated. So yes, you need to do a lot of aerobic volume in order to be prepared to compete in CrossFit. But if you're not strong enough yet and you start layering on tons of aerobic volume, then you're making it less and less likely that you'll make the gains that you need to in your strength, your lean body mass, and your power. So respect the concurrent training effect, and you can always get more enduring later. Prioritize strength first. Third reason. CrossFit demands 50% or higher of tension. So when we look at the tension of the contractions that happen inside of CrossFit, almost always you have a barbell or you have a wall ball or you have a rowing machine. You have something that is requiring your muscles to produce a greater amount of tension than in traditional monostructural endurance sport. So the stronger you are, the lower that percentage gets. So the lower that percentage gets, the fewer waste products those contractions produce. And the fewer waste products those contractions produce, the more repeatable they are, which is the whole name of the game. Fourth reason is that the loads in CrossFit are fixed. So the loads don't get adjusted based upon your body weight or based upon how strong you are. That dictates that you need to have a certain amount of lean body mass within a certain range, and you need to have a set amount of strength in order to handle those fixed loads. Now, if the loads were adjusted based upon body weight or based upon strength factors, then you wouldn't need to spend as much time getting stronger. But because CrossFit as a sport dictates what the loads are, if you have to do contractions at 50% of your 1RM and make those repeatable, and the person you're going against, it's only 33% for them, then he's going to win because the contractions aren't going to produce as many waste products as quickly, and the contractions are more repeatable for him. So it's getting stronger, being strong is one of the main ways that you make the contractions in CrossFit more repeatable so that you can sustain higher rates of work. Rule number five is the contractions you have to make repeatable use the same skills that you master in resistance training. So in this way, resistance training actually becomes like skill work for the sport. And this is something that I haven't heard anyone talk about before, but when you look at the contractions that happen inside of CrossFit, you look at the movements that happen inside of CrossFit, it's squatting, bending, lunging, pushing, pulling, and making those contractions as repeatable as possible. Well, when you're doing resistance training, you're doing the exact same patterns. You're doing the exact same skills, squatting, bending, lunging, pushing, pulling. So in that way, you're training the patterns, you're mastering the skills that you need for the sport. And in that sense, resistance training is skill work. So the more you can master those skills, the easier it's going to be to make that squatting, bending, lunging, pushing, pulling in your Metcons repeatable. You could be the best swimmer in the world, have the highest swimming VO2 max in the world, but that skill is not going to make you enduring at squatting, bending, lunging, pushing, and pulling. But resistance training is practicing those exact same skills, just in a more slow, controlled environment, and it's going to make you more of a master of the skills that you need for the sport. Number six is glycolytic, anaerobic, lactic. It's a lot of fancy words, but those adaptations don't take as long to develop, and they don't stick as long. So this is the really tough 7-minute AMRAP that you get all this lactate accumulation, and you can train that style of training all you want, but the adaptations aren't very sticky. So compared to the residual training effect of, say, absolute strength training, like your squat, bench, and deadlift, which sticks around for a month or more without any training, the adaptations for that glycolytic, anaerobic, lactic are somewhere between 2 and 3 weeks. So if you stop training it, that's how long it takes for you to lose the adaptations. So it makes more sense to turn up that type of training when you need it, when you're close to the competition, rather than doing it all the time, all year round, and your entire career. So I'd rather you turn that training up when you need to do it and gradually ease into it. And then 2 to 3 weeks out, you can really crank up the intensity on it, increase your ability to your potential for lactate accumulation, your potential to use that as a fuel substrate, and get really, really great stress responses and really great performance adaptations. But it does create a ton of fatigue. So that's why another reason that you don't want to be overdosing on it all year long or throughout your career when you don't need those adaptations, you don't need that readiness to compete. Okay, so to go back to the beginning, strength first. Strength takes a long time to develop. Peak biological age for powerlifters is 35, which again suggests that it takes a really long time to develop, and the adaptations stick really well. So once you have it, you don't need to put a ton of training currency, invest a ton of training currency into maintaining it. Second, the concurrent training effect. So the more aerobic volume you're doing, the more your strength and power adaptations are going to be attenuated, and you need to do a ton of aerobic volume to compete, to be ready to compete in CrossFit. So if you're too focused on readiness, you're doing a ton of aerobic volume and you're expecting to get strength and power, that's a recipe for frustration and disappointment because of the concurrent training effect is attenuating all of those strength and power adaptations. So set the aerobic volume aside, know that you're going to get to it, do a ton of resistance training, get really, really strong, and get strong enough to compete in the sport, get the lean body mass that you need to compete in the sport. And then once you have that, you can turn up the aerobic volume without having to do too much to retain it, because the residual training effects of strength training hold on really, really long time, really, really well. And you're going to be doing squatting, bending, lunging, pushing, pulling in your mixed work, so you're going to retain those adaptations really, really well. Third is CrossFit demands 50% plus of tension. So if you are making the contractions by getting stronger, you're making the percentage of tension that you need to perform the work lower, then those contractions are going to produce fewer waste products for you, and the contractions are going to become more repeatable. Fourth is the loads are fixed. So if you have to do 135 pound thrusters, and that's 50% of your front squat, then it's going to be really hard to make those contractions repeatable, as repeatable and go as fast as somebody for whom that's 20% of their front squat. So that's one of the main ways that you make the contractions in CrossFit more repeatable is you increase your capacity to produce tension, and you make the contractions for the loads that are required for the sport take up a smaller percentage of your 1RM. Number five is the contractions that you have to make repeatable in CrossFit use the same skills that you master when getting strong. So when you're doing resistance training, you're doing a lot of squatting, bending, lunging, pushing, and pulling, and you're doing the exact same skills that you use in your Metcons. So in that sense, resistance training is skill work. So the more you can do resistance training and master those skills, the more prepared you're going to be to execute those skills at speed, at rate in a Metcon. Sixth is that the other style of training, the alternative, the really glycolytic, really lactic, anaerobic style training that CrossFitters like to do really, really frequently, those adaptations don't stick as long. They only stick around for 2 to 3 weeks without training, whereas your strength adaptations get retained for a month, and I suspect it's actually much longer than that. That would be like really peak performance. But the base strength that you need, that'll stick around for a really long time, especially for a CrossFitter. So it makes more sense to turn up that style of CrossFit training closer to competition rather than do it all the time. It also creates a ton of fatigue and is incompatible with getting stronger. Guys, so those are the six reasons why I think it's so important to develop strength first. I think this will provide a framework for you to have better long-term development outcomes, whether you're an athlete or a coach in CrossFit. If you're listening to the podcast, please rate the podcast. It helps other people find it and helps more athletes see how far they can go, and coaches help their athletes see how far they can go. Which means a lot to me. If you're watching on YouTube, please like, subscribe, and thank you guys for being here, and I'll see you in the next video.